Pugsley was minding his own business. Matt, on the other hand, is bursting through a wall. Has no consideration for the decree of, you know, walls and the status that they hold and the boundaries that they have created. There was an interior designer and an architect that did all of this work, Matt. You are being unkind by flying through this wall. How could you?
Mm. Poor guy.
Also, for ladies and gentlemen wondering, he is very bloody and presumably dead. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Post Finale. I'm your host, Ankit Madeira. I'm an actor and a singer who hasn't seen a lot of films. So to keep my friends happy and potentially provide a new perspective on some popular films, I am on a quest to change that. I'm not on this quest alone, however. This week, once again, I am joined with Bob Lament from Static Radio, and he is also a wonderful blue cat. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We've had a weekend, but we are back and we are talking about Terminator. So,
Terminator, yeah.
Yes, here we go. So before we get into it, last time I had you on, we discussed, you know, when did you first see the film, your background on it. Now, I know that you're not an actor. However, you also...
Oh, how do you know? I could be an actor. I could be an actor.
I feel like you would have told me if you were.
Oh, is that a thing that actors do? It's kind of like if I'm vegan, I'll tell you I'm vegan, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But for all I know, you also do voice acting and stuff and you just didn't want to tell me. But if you could play anybody in this film, who would you want to play?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. I mean, the obvious answer is the Terminator, don't you think? I mean,
right.
That would be the ultimate character. But I would say, aside from that, probably my other favorite character would be Reese, oddly
nice.
Enough. Which now we can say his name because we're at that point.
Now we can say his name. I mean, I do Blondie. Know his name, Blondie. So it's not a spoiler anymore. But for now, we will still call him Blondie because technically
Blondie.
We don't know where we are.
Sorry.
We'll learn his name in like 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay. We'll be fine. So, yeah, very interesting. So you'd want to play one of them. Makes sense.
Oh yeah definitely
yeah, yeah.
One of the two, essentially the two, well, there's essentially like three leads in the movie, and so those are, I think it'd be harder for me to be you know, Linda Hamilton's character, right? But
I don't know, I think
me.
You could pull
that's
it
just
off
me.
Look, I'm just saying, I think you would be fantastic.
Could be. I could ride around on a scooter. I can do that. I can serve, be a bad waitress. I could do that. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Hey, she
maybe
was trying her best, but yes, she was bad at her job.
She had some killer hair, so, you know.
She did. She did.
I
mean, you
that.
Do as well, so, you know.
Yeah, and I don't quite have the 80s do that she had.
We
can
work
on
this.
Get a wig.
Exactly. See? Everyone's wearing wigs nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where we are back with the police, and the reporters are asking if they are aware that the killings have occurred in the order of the listings in the phone book, which we deciphered earlier on. Well done, us. And I was like, I'm pretty sure the detectives can figure this out, but also I'm not 100% sure if they've been able to figure this out. So Lieutenant Ed says no comment, walks into a room, and he's annoyed with them already, and I am here for it. I am here for Lieutenant Ed just not wanting to deal with the press when he has more pressing matters to deal with. Fair. Mm-hmm. And then, so his coffee is 2 hours cold, his partner has put a cigarette out in it, and Ed does not care. Let's go, Ed. I love Ed. I'm here for it. I'm here for the don't care, just give me the facts, let's go attitude. So they've tried calling the next girl, who I'm assuming is the Sarah that we know, but they keep getting the answering machine. They didn't send anyone to her residence. I feel like this is an oversight on their part. They should have sent someone to the residence.
Yeah, not good police work, huh? So
not the greatest police work, however. I did notice that it was 10:40 p.m. in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this means anything, because at the beginning of the film, they did say that the final battle was tonight. So it made me start thinking, does all of this happen in the same night, truly? And if so, can I kind of keep track of roughly the time that things are happening and how much time has passed? So we will see how that continues for the rest of this this episode and the rest of Terminator. Obviously, I can't go back and do that for the first part, but I can do that from now on.
Right, you have a reference point to start from, yeah.
I have a reference point. I've seen a clock. It's 10:40 p.m. Here we go. So Ed says, call her again. The partner calls. It's still no answer, but I was right. It is the same Sarah. I feel like if it wasn't, the movie would be dragging it out. So I didn't have to stretch very hard on that one. So meanwhile, Ginger and Matt are engaging in, as some would say, the hot and heavy. And they turn up the music so that they can't hear the phone ring. Well done, Matt and Ginger. I don't have high hopes for you. So Ed is mad that there's no answer, and you know, he can hear it now, and he's like, well, they're just gonna call him the phone book killer. And the partner apparently also hates the press cases, especially the weird press cases, which made me start to think, what's the weirdest case that he's had to deal with? I don't know. Do you have any speculation what it could be?
The weirdest case that he's had to deal with? I don't think I would speculate at this point.
Okay. That makes me feel like there's something later that I don't know. Oh my God. Now I'm going to be thinking about this the entire film, and I don't know if you've just implanted this into my brain just to mess with me or if this is really a thing. Oh my goodness. I don't know. Okay. Okay, it's fine. I can't do anything about it now. I'll just stress out about it later when I watch the next part of the film, but still not all of it. Thank you for putting this in my brain. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So Ed is heading out, and he is going to make a statement. And he says something very interesting. He says, let's make the jackals work for us for once. If he can get on the tube by 11, maybe she'll call us. Now, does the tube have a different meaning than the one that I am familiar with, which is the London Underground system, and not something in television? Am I missing something?
Yeah, I don't think that it's referring to the underground.
Yeah, I do feel like it isn't.
Yeah.
But also, yeah. Do you know any idea what this reference might be of? Was like the news station called the tube? Do you know?
Yeah, so if it probably is an old television reference. So they used to call the television the tube or the boob tube, or something like that. And so that's probably more the reference than any kind of underground transport. Because in Los Angeles, I think they do have a train, but not. It doesn't go underground for certain. There's a couple of mass transit stuff there, but not anything close to London's underground. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the consistent things that I do hear in terms of LA is they do not have good public transportation.
No, they got the bus. You can take the bus.
Hey, LA, maybe figure that out.
That's why she's riding a scooter. That's why she's got a scooter.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, look, it's the same reason that I have a bicycle over here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Get in and out of traffic. Wait,
I figured by over the weekend you would have went and got a scooter like that. I mean, they got to be cheap at this point, so.
I think they're cheap. I think you also need a license, and I don't currently have a license for that type of vehicle.
When so I was in Switzerland, they had those things everywhere, those scooters like that. Crazy. Every place they had those scooters. So maybe you don't need a license over in Switzerland for that. So.
You might not need it if like you come. So like even with a U.S. license, if you come to the U.K., you can drive here for a year on that U.S. license. So like you can still come and like rent a car here and then drive a car here.
Right.
But because I've lived here longer than that, that's why my U.S. license technically isn't valid. I had to get a U.K. license. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. That's wild.
Yeah. Just different things that you learn when you live in a different country. So
everybody's got their own rules.
Figure out. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. And, you know, sometimes you play by it and you just understand that it's part of the system. You don't have to enjoy it, but sometimes you just understand that it's part of the system.
Exactly. So, not enjoyable. Yeah.
Not always. No. I mean, rarely, but you know, they are in place for a reason.
Yeah.
So Ed says, okay, let's get this statement out. And, you know, he asks how he looks. And the response is, black boss,
that's
your
right.
mama.
Yeah.
And then walks out the door. But I'm sorry, Ed, that was a very lazy your mama, which made zero sense.
Well, I think he knew that he looked like shit. I think he was just, you know, playing it out, right? So
sure.
He's got, you know, he looks very haggard in the movie.
He does.
Right? Very, very haggard.
He does not look like he has slept in like multiple days.
Right, exactly. This is not, yeah. So I think he was just being a little facetious there, and how do I look? You know, this kind of playing it off.
Fair enough. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a sign of the times, but your mama just feels like a weird response to that. But you know, I mean, I did also grow up with your mama jokes, so like, I do get the reference.
Right.
But then at the same time, it's just like, it just didn't align. Like, it didn't make sense to me.
For all we know, it could be that it was ad-libbed. It wasn't even written.
No you know? Clue.
It sounds like it was just tossed out there, doesn't it? It sounds very tossed out.
Yeah, and it just felt the most natural, so they just went with it.
Yeah, just went with the take.
That was the reasoning. I'm not sure who the actor is, but like, you know.
Paul Winfield.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful. Yeah, I believe that's Paul Winfield. And at the time, he was probably one of the most known actors in the movie, oddly enough.
Okay.
During that time period when it came out. Yeah, I mean, he's since passed away, but I think he died. I don't know when he died
in 2004 is what I see.
Yeah.
And then, he had a very large filmography.
Yeah, big, big career. And so this was actually, you know, if you think about it, was kind of like, so he was a little bit older, right? So this would be after the peak of his career, probably. Although he did a lot of really cool things after this, to be honest with you. He's a very good actor and was more of a character kind of actor. Especially later in his life, he was very much an in-demand character person. So he did a lot of little small parts that were, you know, extremely poignant in a lot of different movies and TV shows. So great, great, great actor. He's in one of my favorite Star Trek episodes on The Next Generation. So,
okay,
Paul Winfield. Yeah,
yeah. I haven't seen a lot of Star Trek. I've seen Star Wars. I've seen a lot of Star Wars.
I don't think he was in Star Wars, but I could be.
Yeah, I don't remember him. But yeah, I've just not seen a lot of Star Trek. I could never really get into it. So
maybe that'll be one of your other things you'll do. You'll do that. You'll say,
oh, I'm sure at some point I will look at Star Trek. Because here's the thing is I really like nerdy things.
Yeah.
I just somehow never watched Star Trek and like could never get into the TV show.
Yeah.
Or the films.
Well, he's in one of the best episodes. Paul Winfield is in one of them.
There we go.
It'd be considered a bottle episode of Star Trek, if you know the bottle episode terminology.
I have heard it before, yeah.
So it's a episode with very few changes of scenery. Usually all happens in one spot.
Okay.
For the most part. I mean, not all, entirely, but for the most part. And so, yeah, it was excellent. And usually they do that to save money. So
yeah, I mean, of course, it's budget. At the end of the day, a lot of things come back to the budget.
Yeah. And considering this movie, Terminator, was really a low-budget movie in the scheme of things. So
I am very interested because I look up the budget and then the box office, and I look up all the statistics at the end of like the specifics because I specifically – and listeners know this, but – for new guests and new listeners, I don't look up anything other than the runtime of the movie and where can I find the movie so that I can watch it. I don't look up anything beforehand to avoid as many spoilers as possible. So like, I don't even look up anything. I just Google the runtime and then I just search on how to watch the film.
Right.
But that's all I look up don't read descriptions, don't read anything about them.
So, where did you watch it at? That's a good question for me. I own it digitally, I think, so that's why how I watched it.
I watched it in a way accessible to me that if other people know how to watch it, good for them, but I will not divulge my sources.
Okay, no problem. I didn't know if you watched it on Netflix or what. So.
Couldn't find it. I found every other Terminator on Netflix around the world except the first one.
Okay.
So other sources were involved.
Gotcha. Understood.
We'll leave it at that.
Understood.
I always do try to watch it in, you know, the most legitimate way possible.
Right. Sure. Of course.
But sometimes when it's not available, I can't pay for, you know, 12 different streaming services.
Right,
so
exactly. There's too
gotta
many.
Gotta do what
days.
You gotta do. Exactly. So, who knows? Anyway, back to the film. Where are we? So, the news report is now on, and it is revealing the name of the second victim of an execution-style murder that took place today. And Sarah's at this restaurant. I'm guessing it's a small Italian bistro. I saw a pizza, but it looks a little too cute. And the quick decor that I saw. And, you know, you see Sarah is digging through her bag. So I was like, this seems like a little Italian bistro and not specifically a pizzeria. It could also be a pizzeria. And I'm definitely reading way too into what type of restaurant this is.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that's not a plot point.
It absolutely is not. But I was intrigued. Okay. I was like, I need to know. Where is she? What is she eating? I need to know. Turns out she's eating a pizza. But we learn from this newscast that 2 hours ago, so 9 p.m., because they were saying that they wanted to get on the 11 p.m. news, so we're assuming it's 11 p.m., 9 p.m., Sarah Ann Connor was pronounced dead, and Sarah Louise Connor was pronounced dead earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah's eating her pizza, and she notices this news. Two guys at the bar ask if they can change the channel. Sarah yells, "Don't touch it!
Don't touch it!"
And she shoves closer to the TV, and the police are unwilling to speculate about the apparent similarity of the shootings just yet, and no other connection between the two victims have been established yet. Sarah is very shocked, which makes very much sense in terms of her, as her name is the same. And the others at the bar notice that something is up with her. They all clock that something is off. She is distressed by this news, but none of her ask if she's okay.
No.
Nobody at the bar thinks to ask this woman who just saw the news and is suddenly very distraught if she's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a bar. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, not the most upscale kind of thing.
Look, it's a bar, but I had a little bit of faith in humanity. I see why the machines are winning. Like, don't even ask if someone's okay if they're visibly distraught in front of you because of something that you all listen to on the news. Like, no, 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 no. You know what? Humans in this universe, maybe you deserve to get killed by the machines. Maybe you had it coming. You're terrible people.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are at a bar, don't let the machines take over. We have AI coming in. It's very helpful in many different aspects of life. However, mm-hmm. Be kind. Be courteous. Make sure people are okay, even if they're a stranger. Just ask if someone's okay if you see that they are visibly distraught. And most people won't mind.
Just you have to remember it was the 80s as well, so that was not I think that was actually pretty normal for that time period. They'd be like, unless she was crying or anything, I mean, just being,
she was on the verge of tears, Bob,
but she wasn't actually crying. She was on the verge of tears but not actually crying. So, you know, plus it was two guys who I think wanted to watch hockey or something, didn't they? They wanted to watch.
Sure, sure, sure. But the bartender.
They've probably been drinking all day, so.
But the bartender. Like, he was at work. He wasn't drinking. He wasn't drunk. Look, all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it was the 80s. The times were different. Don't let that happen now.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, okay. Gotcha.
You know. Yeah. That's it. Just be kind. Be considerate. And yeah, that's all. Anyway, we do then also have Sarah. She goes over to the phone book and finds Sarah Connors. And she is third on the list as Sarah J. Connor, after Sarah Connor and Sarah M. Connor, who are both dead. Obviously, she has picked this up. And she starts dialing the phone, but there is a sheet of paper with nothing written on it, which seems to signify that the phone is out of service.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that's how out-of-service signs work. This makes complete sense. Now, detouring, because I did use phone books growing up, but by the time I was old enough, phone books were out of style, but I had a question about them.
Sure.
But, like, phone books, and, you know, in terms of phone books, when people used it, did you have to inform someone every single time you moved so that the phone book can be updated? Or was it like it would get updated once a year? Like, what was the situation?
Yearly. On how a annual phone book?
It was just an annual thing.
Typically, it was annually. I mean, phone books used to be a lot of advertising, right? So they would sometimes do it more than once a year. And then basically when you changed locations, whatever the cycle it was. So in bigger cities, they may have changed the phone books more than once a year. In small places, they did it annually because they sold advertising in the phone book. And so it was, you know, since you didn't have the internet or anything, so that was another way to generate money for the phone company. And so it depends on where you were living, how often the phone. The funny thing is, you know, the phone company put out a phone book, and there literally were third party phone books.
Yeah, I remember growing up.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, we had two.
Yeah.
We would call one the yellow pages and one the white pages because of color of the print of the
that
pages.
So yellow pages are typically businesses and white pages are typically individuals.
Individuals and residents. So
there could be two different versions of the yellow pages and white pages that were created by different entities. So
I mean, by the time I was old enough, because I do remember using them, but I think by the time I was old enough to really, you know, pay attention to them, it had all turned into smartphones. So,
right, they haven't been used in forever. But there could be, you know, especially in a large city, there could have been, you know, dozens of different phone books from different companies because it was a lucrative advertising business. So if they were to, and I don't think the phone company couldn't keep all that information proprietary. I mean, I'm sure they had to pay for it in some way, but they could pay for it and sell ads in their own phone book. And so there could be across a big city like Los Angeles, there could have been a dozen different phone books.
Fair.
Yellow and white pages. So yeah, it was a little weird. Most people would only know the one from the phone company itself, especially at a pay phone.
Yeah.
Those would have been the phone company issued phone books, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, but people could also opt out of being in the phone book, right?
Yeah. At one point you had to pay for that.
Okay. Okay.
And that was another way for them to make money was you could pay to have an unlisted number. And so then your number would be in the system, but it wouldn't be listed in the phone book.
Cool. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most people didn't do that because it was, you know, it was
right. It's a way to contact. I feel like that would probably be like celebrities who didn't need people calling their phone every time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, this has been phone book talk. Anyway, back to this. She's looking at the phone book.
Looking at the phone book.
She's looking at a phone book. I know, right? This weird thing that we used back in the day, and I used for a little bit of my life, but There's also this like really tall, weird man that's just hanging out by the phone, and he's just like watching her while she's on the phone or trying to use the phone. He's kind of taller, menacing with his arms crossed. He's probably harmless. Hey, guess what? He's harmless. He's just there. Right. So he's just there to build the tension. Yeah. That's all he is. He's there to build the tension for Sarah.
Yeah.
And she leaves the restaurant. Now, we never catch the name of the restaurant. However, next door, there is a place called the Dreyer's Ice Cream, and they are closed. Mm. So, you know, no dessert for Sarah.
Yep, no ice cream.
No ice cream. So she has to start walking down the street. And we see that Blondie has followed her, and he begins to follow her again. Sarah notices this. And so she gets into a bar club of sorts, and we see Blondie walk past the Tech Noir bar, and I'm assuming it's a bar. We get inside, we find out it's a club, but we walk inside, you know, just casually, and it's like, all right, so it doesn't look like he's going to kill her, but it doesn't look like Blondie's going to kill her, but is also looking for her to protect her is what I'm guessing right now. Okay. And if so, why doesn't he say anything to her? This is what confuses me right now. A lot of this gets explained in a little bit, but right. I'm just like, all right, why are you not saying anything? If you were specifically there to protect her, maybe you should inform her of this. Don't know. But... Just a thought.
Maybe.
Again, a lot of this gets explained very soon. Sarah asks if they have a phone. It's in the back, and they ask for $4.50 at the desk. And I was like, is that to use the phone or the entrance fee? Turns out entrance fee.
Yeah, cover charge.
Cover charge. Fair enough. I was just like, I was curious. I was like, $4.50 for a phone? And then I clocked that it was probably a cover charge.
Yeah.
So it took me a second. But Sarah is walking through this crowded bar and finds the phone, which seems like a very ineffective location for the phone. First of all, it's not in the back. It seems like it's in the middle of the dance floor of sorts. Like, you can still see the DJ in the background, and there are people dancing all around her and a table right next to it with like people behind the table. So obviously this isn't the back, but like, I don't know. I guess the lady was just like, it's in the club. In the most ineffective place to have a conversation.
But maybe the most effective place to shoot the movie.
Oh, 100% the most effective place to shoot the movie. 1,000% the best place to shoot the movie.
Yeah, maybe.
But the worst place for a phone.
Yeah, you're not going to be talking for a long time on that phone, yeah.
If this was a collect call, I would not answer.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be like, eh.
Just, you know what?
Tech Noir calling.
Whoever it is, they can stay drunk. I'm broke. I love you. I'll come get you. Like, you don't need to talk. Like, I will hang up and figure out how to get to Tech Noir. You stay put.
That's right. Exactly.
But I am not answering your phone call. You are not allowed to leave that place. Stay put, and I will find you. You go, you're on your own.
Oh, my goodness.
So Sarah is then using the phone, and she calls the police. All the lines are busy, and if she needs a police car to, you know, be sent out to her, stay on the line. And then she promptly hangs up in frustration.
Right,
Sarah,
yeah.
Why would you do that? You feel like someone's after you. Maybe stay on the line. Don't hang up the phone.
Well, she's, you know, at that point, she's inside. There's a bunch of people around. It's not quite the same as being out on the street, maybe. So, and it's aggravating. What the heck? You know, the police should never have all their lines busy. I mean, that's what
it is
for.
Odd that the police have all of their lines busy.
Mm-hmm.
I did find that weird, but I've thankfully never had to call the police.
Well, nowadays it's different, but back then there was, phone lines, right? So it wasn't all computerized. I mean, phones have been computerized for a very long time, but as far as the end user goes, they would have had a bank of phones, like the old, Mabel, the old operator that had pulled out the wires to plug you into the other thing. So they'd have an old-time switchboard, And so they can only have a finite amount of phone numbers back
then.
Even other places. And so it wasn't, there wasn't quite the same as it is today with everything basically is, you know, virtual. You can have 100 million phone lines if you want to at this point. But back then it was a little bit more restrictive.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So that's that scene currently. I am intrigued.
Any thoughts on the name of the place?
Tech Noir. I did find it funny because we were talking about technology and like cyborgs and things like that and the machines rising up.
Right.
And then, yeah. So I did laugh at that.
Yeah.
But I was like, good name. Clever. It was a good name. Also, just not even in terms of tech, but like Tech Noir just sounds like a good name for a club. Like that's just a solid club name. Like, well done.
So, and usually,
Pun.
Noir is, you know, night or something that's obfuscated. So, tech noir is like technology that's hidden a little bit.
Yeah, it's dark.
Yeah.
Comes out at night.
Maybe.
It's evasive.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's Batman.
yeah, right. I'm Batman. Yeah.
I mean, that is a fun name. Thank you for bringing that up because I would have glossed over it. But yeah, no, it is a very, very fun name. So,
although it could be foreshadowing too. Think about it that way.
Great. You've given me more to think about. See, like, I love having conversations with you because you make me then, like, think about things. And now I'm just confused all over again. I was like, I think I have an idea of what's happening in the film. And now I'm confused.
Well,
it's fantastic, Bob. I love it. But I came into this with, like, 80% confidence that I might know what's happening in the film. I am currently probably like down to 40. So So we cut to Arnold and he has arrived at Sarah Connor's place of residence. And I was like, are Ginger and Matt going to die or is Arnold going to let them live because they're not Sarah Connor? And I was like, they're probably going to die. But for some reason, I have a weird feeling that he might let them live.
Mm.
So. Yeah, Ginger gets out of the room and is dancing around a bit. She goes to the fridge, and I thought this was a very interesting camera angle right here, where it was almost like we were invading her space as the camera operator and for the shot, and you needed to stay low, and you had to stay out of sight, and everything's dark. There's slightly, like, obscurity between the objects that they use. I just thought it was a very, very fun camera angle to kind of show, like, hey, like, we're sneaking around. We shouldn't really be here. Like, this is about to be messy kind of deal.
Yeah.
Thought it was just a beautiful, beautiful camera shot there. So she pulls out a gallon of milk and some other ingredients to make a sandwich. Mm-hmm. The midnight munchies have arrived.
Yeah, exactly. I think, they've been
very fair.
They've been burning a lot of calories, I think, for the evening.
Yeah, they were doing something, you know, just that takes a lot of effort, but, you know, we'll leave it to imagination. So then she gets startled by Pugsley and threatens to make a belt out of him. First of all, rude. Pugsley is doing his absolute best. How dare you? And for anyone listening, they are well aware of this. And if not, news alert. 9 times out of 10, I'm probably gonna be on the animal side.
That's good. That's fantastic. Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'm gonna be on the animal side unless the animal does something truly horrific.
Yeah.
But
I think he was just hanging out and happened to be in the wrong spot.
He was just minding his own business. It's her fault for not turning on the light and seeing where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need the light to see. There was nothing wrong with what he was doing.
Right, yeah. He was so, like, hey, what are you getting? Maybe you could share. That's probably what he's thinking.
He just wanted a snack. He was hungry too.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Arnold opens the sliding door to the bedroom and wakes up a sleeping Matt who wakes up instantly when he turns his head, which means he definitely was not this thing called asleep.
Probably
he
not.
He was very much awake. He wasn't sleeping. He was awake. He was waiting for that sandwich to return. Mm-hmm. So he manages to dodge Arnold's punch. He hits the pillow. Arnold does. And Matt grabs a lamp and tells Arnold, "Don't make me bust you up, man."
Mm-hmm.
He proceeds to hit Arnold with the lamp and then is grabbed by Arnold and thrown out the sliding glass door. He did not, as one would say, bust him up. Meanwhile,
it would be noted that he's not a small person. Rick is.
Matt is built.
Matt, I'm sorry.
Matt is built.
Yeah. He's played by Rick Rossovich, I think, is the actor's name is Rick Rossovich.
Beautiful.
Who went on to be in another show, one called Pacific Blue. He was in that show. So anyway.
I have heard of this show.
Yeah.
I have not witnessed this show, but I have heard of this show,
yeah,
which is more progress than many other shows. But I do watch a lot of TV. So there is that every now and again. But yeah. Anyway, so he then proceeds to get up. Oh, before he does get up, we do see Ginger. She hears nothing due to the music. She's just enjoying life, making a sandwich, playing some imaginary drums with some celery sticks, as you do. Well done to Ginger.
Yeah.
You know, not her fault her boyfriend is being, you know, killed in the other room.
Right, getting thrown around. Yeah.
Getting thrown around. But, you know, at the same time, how is she supposed to know this?
Right, yeah. She had a kicking Walkman, I think, with the extra bass going there. So
it definitely had that extra bass. She was getting into it. She was really into it. So meanwhile,
it's a mistake, right? La, 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 la. It's a mistake. Wasn't that the song?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know the song. I didn't recognize the song. So didn't hear it. But meanwhile, Matt is being thrown around the room like a rag doll, and he keeps getting up. So props to him. And I was like, I would like to think that Arnold, and this is all like one cohesive thought as I'm writing this down, ladies and gentlemen. So this all happened. Like, I started typing and then it ended with how I end it. And then I just go, I like to think that Arnold will beat other people up, but will not kill those that he doesn't need to. But then at the same time, we did see him kill that punk at the beginning. So we'll see. However, the punk did kind of deserve it and pulled a switchblade out on him. And Matt was just sitting here minding his own business while sleeping here minding his own business. But then at the same time, Matt did hit him in the head with the lamp. So Matt's probably going to die and Ginger's going to die out of retaliation, because he doesn't know what Sarah Connors looks like.
Mm, right, yeah. Maybe.
So that was all one cohesive, lovely thought. So Ginger is continuing her midnight snack. She has finished, and it is a masterpiece. This sandwich is filled. It has the meat. It has the cheese. It has the lettuce. It has the tomatoes. It has the pickle. It has all the condiments. She is ready to devour this sandwich. And she starts to head back to the room and then is scared out of her wits when Matt is thrown through a wall.
Yeah. Comes flying through. Exactly. And he's like, oh, couldn't you wait, Matt? I mean, Pugsley was polite.
Pugsley was minding his own business. Matt, on the other hand, is bursting through a wall. Has no consideration for the decree of, you know, walls and the status that they hold and the boundaries that they have created. There was an interior designer and an architect that did all of this work, Matt. You are being unkind by flying through this wall. How could you?
Mm. Poor guy.
Also, for ladies and gentlemen wondering, he is very bloody and presumably dead.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, he's taken a couple of real good hits, so.
Yeah. So, Arnold comes out of this room, and he aims the laser gun at Ginger and fires. Mm. And I thought that Ginger had managed to avoid the shot by jumping to the floor, and I was about to clown the movie because I was like, well, if she avoided this, this is very funny. Because instead of just dropping to the ground to avoid it, she jumps straight backwards,
right?
But also like it's a bad dive off of a diving board that's going to end up in a belly flop.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even like a graceful like swan dive off a diving board. No, no, no. It was more of a jump that was going to land in a belly flop. There was no cohesion to this. So I was about to clown the movie. Turns out she got hit, ladies and gentlemen. So I can't really clown the movie. But I can clown her on what was that escape plan?
I think the idea was the she was trying to get away and then he shot her and then the force of everything just, you know,
lifted
like,
her into the
air. Yeah, kind of threw her over the camera kind of a situation, I guess.
I mean, look, I
it
don't
was
know
very
much.
Dramatic, that's for certain.
Yeah, I don't claim to necessarily always know a lot, but I'm pretty sure that a
little over the top.
Bullet doesn't send the target flying upwards?
Yeah, I think they were, you know, how can we make this more visually interesting?
Yeah, it was definitely more visually interesting, but also I did laugh.
It's true. It was kind of wild, wasn't it?
So the music is very intense, and we see that she was hit by Arnold, and Arnold then proceeds to shoot her dead.
Yeah.
Make sure. So much of my brief, not very concrete theory that he might not kill her.
Yeah. Not going to happen. I think that at this point, Arnold has killed everyone he's encountered just about, and Blondie has killed no one he's encountered.
Blondie's killed nobody. So. Just then the phone rings, Arnold points a gun at it, which I appreciate, and the machine gets hit. And this is a quality message, so I'm just going to read it verbatim for you all. But it's just a beautiful message. And it says, "Hi there. Fooled you. You're talking to a machine, but don't be shy. It's okay. Machines need love too. So talk to it. And Ginger, that's me, or Sarah, will get back to you. Wait for the beep." And then it beeps. And I noticed that in it, it says machines need love too.
Machines need love too. Yeah.
Does that mean Arnold, who again, I'm pretty sure is a machine, will be defeated by using the power of love?
Oh,
and is Sarah going to use the power of love to defeat Arnold?
That's a good and question. Like, that's something I would have never thought of, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah, like, is Sarah going to make Arnold somehow fall in love with her because she is so beautiful? Or is she going to use some other kind of love? Like, friendship was the answer all along. If so, I am going to be so mad at this film. Because what the hell?
I don't want to give anything away, so I can't comment on this.
But something to think about, if you do know, and that this is true, ladies and gentlemen, come back in 2 weeks' time. I mean, come back next week, too. It's very nice. Thank you very much. But definitely come back in 2 weeks' time, because if this is true, there will be possibly my best and most passionate rant on this entire show to date.
Okay.
If this is true. If this is not true, then we'll see what happens. There is still a very good possibility that there is probably a rant about something, but it might not be about how dumb a movie ends. So I have ranted about multiple very silly topics on this show. So
okay.
Well, usually we'll it's because I notice something very silly. Like, you know, is it a sandwich or a burger in Good Will Hunting? Which one is it? I still don't have an answer. So, anyway, Terminator. If he gets defeated by love, I'm gonna be mad, but we'll just have to find out. So, Sarah's on the line, and she's yelling for Ginger to pick up if she's there. And I mean, like, well, she is there, but she's not conscious or living. But technically speaking, she is there.
Well, she got shot so badly she flew backwards.
No. She got shot so badly that she flew up into the air, fall back down to the ground. Exactly. She defied gravity, ladies and gentlemen.
That must have been the laser 40-watt range laser thing. Maybe that he got a hold of one of those. Who knows?
He did shoot her with the laser gun, so maybe it had magical powers that we just hadn't seen so far, where it lifts the victim into the air. Not sure. So Arnold does clock that this is Sarah calling, and he starts to listen. Sarah explains everything. She is at a place on Pico Boulevard called Technoir. She's really scared. Thinks someone is after her. She needs her and Matt to come pick her up ASAP. And the police keep transferring her around, going to try them again. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was an interesting fact, because, you know, you had brought up earlier that they didn't have lines open. And then I had brought up even before that that they didn't dispatch a car to her place of residence. And the fact that Ed said maybe she'll call them and now they're not able to help.
Right.
This just is telling me more and more that we are just living in a world of a very inept police department.
That's funny.
Possibly the only person of any use in this department is Ed. Because he's the only one that seemed, and maybe his partner. I'll give his partner some credit as well.
Okay.
So I think maybe the only two competent people at this police department are Ed and his partner. And I'm wondering if this plays a factor into a bit rest of this film. We will find out.
We'll find out. So
the number that she gives is 555-9175. I wonder if that number works. Ladies and gentlemen, give it a try. No area code was given. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Also, please don't mention me if you do this. We used to prank call people all the time. I don't know if you can still do it because I've never tried.
It's harder to do nowadays, that's for certain.
Yeah, I mean, like, we could still, you know, we would always star 6-7 and get around it with landlines, and, like, we would have fun and prank call our friends and different things like that. But, you know, I don't even know if it's really that possible with
A few years ago, there was a website that basically you could initiate a call from the website and put whatever you wanted to into the caller ID. I haven't done this in a while. But, yeah, so you could make the caller ID say whatever you wanted, and it would be, it wouldn't be from your phone. It would be from a website. So you could do it on your phone with a website, I suppose. But anyway, that was always kind of fun because you could make, you know, call somebody and have the screen light up with whatever words you wanted, which that's the prank, right? I mean, you really don't want them to answer necessarily. You just want them to see that, you know, whatever you want to call is calling them, so you could put whatever, you know, filthy thing you want on the screen, which is kind of funny.
So I have to ask, what was the name that you are most proud of that you put on that screen? Because you said you hadn't used it in a while, which makes me think that you used it.
Oh no, I did use it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you just do. I don't remember doing anything totally filthy, but I, you know, put. If something was happening, I'd be rude and put somebody's name that shouldn't be calling them, you know, so that way it would be in their log as well, right? So their past calls would say, like, let's say I'd say on kick call that I'm calling, you know, your best friend's girlfriend, and he doesn't really want you talking to her or something. So then I would put that you had called her, and then if he saw that, then there'd be, you know, problems. So
if my best friend had a girlfriend, I'd have words for him, because I'd be like, boy, you never told me. Of course I'm contacting her directly. You didn't tell me. You don't get to have a say in this. I get to be a part of her life because you are a part of my life. Deal with this. You signed up to be a best friend. You get this. Like, let's go. Like, you know, if he didn't tell me that he is dating someone, this is on her. Dylan, if you're listening, I hope you have a girlfriend, buddy. I hope things are going well for you. I don't know. Let me know.
There'll be a lot of inside kind of stuff. You know, that would be the idea.
Oh, I'd be significantly more mad at him than anything else.
Well, see, there you go.
Because he just wouldn't have told me. And I would have been like, how could you not tell me? Like, I don't mind the fact that, like, you know, you didn't introduce me to her or, like, you know, all of that. Sure, I live halfway around the world. I don't talk to you every day. I talk to you about once a week. But, oh, like, I don't talk to you every day. It doesn't always come up in conversation. Because, like, even sometimes when we're talking, it's just about something completely other than just our lives. It's not always our lives. So it's just like, yeah, like I understand, but like if something like that happened and you didn't tell me, I would have been, I'd just be upset. I'd be like, dude, I thought our friendship meant more to you. Anyway, that's enough of emotional trauma for the listeners. Back to the film.
Okay.
So Arnold opens up a drawer. He finds a calendar and a planner, and he doesn't seem to find any information in it. Mm-hmm. And he then finds Sarah's university ID, so he now knows what she looks like.
First time there's a connection. Yeah.
He finally knows what she looks like, who he is hunting down. Mm-hmm. Earlier, he's just been going by a name. Now he has an image. Important info. So this is where I had a thought as well. He was just sent to murder Sarah Connor. How does he know which Sarah Connor is the right one?
All right.
For a group of highly advanced machines, they seem to have left a lot of information up in the air.
Or have they? Maybe explained.
I think they have. If it's been explained, I haven't picked up on it.
It'll just look like a dum-dum. It'll be explained.
Okay, okay. We'll find out. Yeah. So I made a whole guess here. We'll take a quick guess and then, like, I'll give an updated prediction of what's going on, which is the main reason, ladies and gentlemen, that I didn't do a prediction at the start of this. And then we'll do this prediction, have a quick intermission, and then we'll come back into it and finish up the rest of this episode. So this is my guess, is that the police will try to come and help her, but before she is able to get protection from the police, Arnold is going to arrive at Tech Noir. Blondie is going to help save Sarah, and there will be a bit of a bloodbath at Tech Noir. After she is saved by Blondie, he will then explain to her why she is being hunted by Arnold. Blondie will somehow convince her to trust him and that there is a way to stop Arnold from wreaking more havoc. However, Blondie will also say that they cannot work with the police because they will be after him as well. Due to just being saved by Blondie, Sarah's going to help him shut down Arnold. It better not be by the power of love. Meanwhile,
In Back to the Future, the power of love.
That was Back to the Future. All right, I feel slightly better. I really don't think it's happening, but it better not be. Meanwhile, the police will still be trying to solve the murders, for now, four people, because Ginger and Matt have been added, which... Yeah. Will be more after the gun Tech Noir
guy.
Massacre.
The gun shop guy.
Oh, yeah. The gun shop guy as well. Yeah, but apparently nobody cares about the gun shop guy.
His name wasn't Sarah Connor. So.
No. His name wasn't Sarah Connor's. It's not as important of a murder. Yeah. So in the end, they will defeat Arnold, but Arnold is going to be able to escape. And as he is leaving, that's when he's going to utter the iconic phrase, "I'll be back," which will be the last line of the film for him before he leaves. I don't know if it's going to be the last line of the film overall. It could be. We'll see. But all that being said, we're going to take a quick intermission and then we'll come back and finish up this episode.
Hi, this is Steven. Thank you for watching Co-op Forge. If you like our content, wish to support our editing staff or all, please subscribe to our Patreon and link down below. You'll get bonus footage and many other fun activities out of it. In our description, you'll also find links to our social media, where we'll post about our new episodes. Flip the Scripts is every Friday, Seattle Across the Pond is every other Thursday, and Post Finale is posted every Wednesday. Thank you for watching. Now back to the main episode.
We are back, and Sarah has finally gotten through to the police. Yay, maybe they aren't completely inept, but she has finally gotten through to the two useful people. So she has contacted Lieutenant Ed Traxler. Fantastic name.
That is good.
So she tells him, where she is and says that she is okay but doesn't want to leave, thinks that there is a guy following her. She's got that right. She's got one guy following, one guy hunting. So she is very popular, as one would say. Maybe not in the best of ways. She's popular.
Yeah.
She's exactly. got two men following her. Not that that is a good thing at all. She just is popular. People want to speak to her. Well, people want to see her. They don't necessarily always want to speak. So Ed tells her she's in a public place and will be safe until they get there. But stay visible. Do not go outside. And he'll have a car there in a minute. Sarah sits at the table and Arnold has arrived at Tech Noir. Meanwhile, they have a song in the background. I can't place it, but it has a line that goes, "You've got me burning," or something along those lines. Yeah. And it just stuck out to me. And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. If anyone knows the song that we are discussing, let us know. I just didn't clock. I just heard that one line. And I was like, burning. It's not exactly going to be burning because he's not about to light this place on fire, but he is probably going to kill a few people. So, like, you know what? I'll count it close enough.
Yeah, light him up. Yeah,
exactly. Light him up. Yeah, that's a song as well.
Yeah.
So Arnold walks in and he didn't pay, which is pointed out. The bouncer tries to stop him, but Arnold crushes the hand that he places on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold is looking for Sarah and misses seeing her because Sarah has dropped something and bends down to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Arnold should have better visual skills, but fine. There were people there. There were people blocking his view. I'll cut him some slack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was loud, noisy. Yeah.
It was loud. There was a lot happening. People were dancing. Like, I'll cut him some slack. It's fine. Sarah sees Blondie from across the club. They make eye contact. Or so it seems. It seems like they make eye contact. Sarah seems a bit perturbed by this. Arnold is still very tall and menacing. He turns and walks straight, and the music starts to intensify as he walks over to Sarah. Arnold reaches Sarah. He pulls out his gun. At the same time, Blondie pulls out his shotgun. And I was like, wow, this bouncer is really his job.
Well, one of them got their hand broke, so, you know.
Sure. But you're telling me that the bouncer didn't check for a single weapon?
Again, back then, there wasn't a lot of worry about that. That wasn't the usual.
People like, there was no pat down, nothing. Like, you could just walk into any establishment just fully armed.
Oh yeah, easily, definitely.
Different times, I guess.
Way different times. Yeah, there wouldn't have been. No one would have even thought about it at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially just a club. I mean, they did. There would not have been any kind of worry about anything like that.
Wild. If a bouncer does this now.
Yeah, nowadays it's much different. But yeah, back then yeah, it would have been a whole different world, and people would have walked in, and it wouldn't have, made any bit of difference.
Okay. Yeah. The things you learn.
Yeah,
the things exactly. you learn. So Arnold takes his sweet time aiming his little laser gun at Sarah, and so Blondie moves people out of the way, and before Arnold can pull the trigger, Blondie sends 5 shots from his shotgun while aiming it at Arnold, knocking him out. He isn't dead, or there would be no movie. And also, 5 shots without reloading. I do know that some shotguns can hold 2. Are there shotguns that can hold 5?
Oh, sure, yeah. Depending on what kind it was, it could hold, I think, up to 7. Yeah.
Okay. I just am not well versed in the world of shotguns, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
It probably could easily hold 5, my guess. Especially if it was a police shotgun, yeah.
Okay, so not surprising. Beautiful. Yep. I just didn't know if that was like a surprising thing or not or anything, because any shotgun that I've ever shot, the biggest that it could go to is 2.
Right, usually double barrel, and then that would just be 2, yeah. This would have a magazine of sorts in the bottom, and yeah.
Okay. So the crowd obviously scatters and heads for the exit.
No kidding.
And oh, look, Arnold's fine, and he starts shooting his machine gun. He kills a waiter, poor guy, he was just trying to do his job, right. And a lady who is behind Sarah as they are running to the door, so the lady falls on top of Sarah, pinning her on under a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
This is key. Blondie, still firing shots, being an annoying little prick who is in Arnold's side.
Right.
And he can't be hit. He's avoiding things. He's ducking behind chairs. He's ducking, well, not really chairs, but tables and like right. The bar. And like, he's hiding. He can't be hit. Arnold's annoyed by him. Sarah, trying to break free from the dead body on top of her. It's not going very well. She's not being very effective right now. And Arnold walks over, takes his time. As he does, he is one for the theatrics, which I recommend sometimes. And, you know, I respect in at least a villain. So he recocks his gun. Thank you for showing that you have to recock a gun. And Sarah, obviously terrified, the music swells. Arnold aims, and just as he is about to fire, he is hit by 5 more rounds from Blondie, which knock him out of the front window of the club. Blondie then grabs Sarah by the arm and tells her, "Come with me if you want to live." And Arnold wakes up slowly. Sarah is in shock, but Blondie finally gets her to come to, and they get moving, and they get out. They run through the back door. The music is still very intense. Blondie is reloading his gun as they are running. And this is where I had another thought. He stole the gun.
Right. Where did he get all these shells at? Yeah, good question.
Exactly. We never saw him steal any ammo.
Yeah, but
how did he get the ammo?
That they, for a cop car, they'd have ammo somewhere in there. So.
But he stole the gun.
Yeah.
And we very explicitly saw he reached in, grabbed the gun, closed the door, and left.
Typically with those kind of assault shotguns, they'd have at least several shells attached to it somewhere. So if it was already full, and then there would be another load that gets attached. It's usually on the side of the gun. I don't remember if we saw all sides of the gun, but that would be an explanation for it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've seen the gun maybe from all angles, but like in very quick succession shots. Yeah. So not really able to see what's on it, like if there's ammo attached to it or anything.
Right.
So, okay, fair enough. Arnold is on their tail, and we see how Arnold sees the world. It's with a red tint and a target in the eye line. The stats are showing on the side. No clue what any of them mean. But I did catch one in particular, and it says install colon LDY number or pound sign 18 plus a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And all I took from this is he may need an update.
Yeah, I don't know that the code on his eye, any of that really means much. This again would be very early times for, you know, it's not really CGI. It would be more animation that they did with that.
So, I have complete faith that it probably means nothing.
Yeah, I don't think that they took too much. I mean, maybe there's a Easter egg in there that I'm not sure of, but yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but I think it's more to indicate now what he is.
Yeah, definitely. It has kind of cemented what I've kind of known all along, that he is a machine. He is a cyborg. So the chase is on. Blondie and Sarah duck behind the door of his car, and Blondie shoots the car in front to create a fire barrier. And I was like, like, that's stopping him. And Blondie and Sarah get in the car. Before they can pull away, Arnold jumps through the flames and onto the hood of the car.
Yeah.
Blondie starts driving in reverse, and Arnold punches through the windshield. He is able to grab a hold of Sarah, but Blondie helps hold her back. He can't get her out of this car. And they get onto the main road just as we see the cop car show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that they took their sweet time, but also this has all happened in like maybe 5 minutes of movie time. So I can't be too mad, because maybe it is legitimately a 5 minute span that all of this happens.
Have you ever tried to drive in Los Angeles? No. Oh my gosh, that's fast.
Yeah, I am intrigued, but also I am also fascinated, and this might be a sign of the times, and I'll say it now so that I don't say it 50,000 times later. The streets are surprisingly empty.
Yes. I have a bit of trivia for you on that.
Oh.
If you want to hear it.
I'm down. Okay. I like trivia.
So part of the business, we said several times that this is a lower budget movie. They shot a lot of those scenes without permits and without blocking the street. So they went to places in Los Angeles in the middle of, you know, way and deep in the night. So like, you know, 2 and 3 in the morning, and shot all this stuff without permits. And so it really was that abandoned.
Fair enough.
But it was later than what they're portraying in the movie. You know, the timing in the movie is like it's in the evening, not the late evening like that. But when they went and shot, they would shoot like in the early hours in the morning, like after the bars let out and everything. So,
sure, I'll give them that though. That's fair enough. You do what you got to do when you're on a budget.
Yeah,
I can respect that. Cool. All right. Then I'm not mad that the streets are deserted because they were
deserted. They shot it.
It's just not usually that deserted at about 11 p.m.
Right. At 11 o'clock, they wouldn't have been deserted, yeah, though.
It's not usually this deserted, but you know what? You do what you got to do when you're on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they are flying through. We see the cop car get there. Blondie hits a car, which causes Arnold to get thrown off the car. Blondie then speeds away, and he probably should be running from the crazed killer robot. The cop, however, has shown up, calls them in because he hasn't seen anything other than what he calls in. He calls in. He goes, this is 1L19, a hit and run felony. Suspect vehicle, late model. Gray Ford, headed westbound on 7. And meanwhile, the menacing music starts to return as Arnold starts to get up. There is smoke coming off of him, which is a cool effect. Something I've never really seen it on people though. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, maybe this is because of the fire, and like he was a little smoking because of the fire.
Right. Yeah.
Very, very cool effect though.
Yeah.
Really like intensified the menacing factor of it. So the cop, meanwhile, is relaying this information like a good police officer. So maybe he is also competent at his job. And, you know, he's like, they're really moving. They're punching all the lights. How can you see that far? I'm pretty sure they're out of eyesight, but all right, buddy. He goes, I'm going to need an ambulance at 7th and Broadway right now. Arnold gets up, startles the cop, who tries to say, hold it. And Arnold don't care. He grabs the cop, knocks him out by hitting his head against his own patrol vehicle, gets in, grabs the shotgun from his holder, and heads out.
Yeah. Now, the only thing is, this is our first person that he's encountered that we don't know that he killed, if he killed him or not.
I don't think he killed him, but there's a So I don't think he killed him, but there's a reason why, and we see the reason why very soon.
Right.
But I think there is a specific reason he may not have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, Blondie tells Sarah to hold on and head down, and he heads down an alley. They cut through and end up on another main road. Sarah is very lost, but obviously in shock, probably is very confused. And Blondie's very panicked, but, you know, he yet, in a slightly calm voice but panicked voice, asks, are you injured? Are you shot? Like, in a caring voice. And Sarah just tries to get out of the car. Blondie stops her. He grabs her, not necessarily in a threatening way, but mainly just to stop her from getting out of the car. And Blondie informs her, do exactly what I say. Exactly. Don't move unless I say. Don't make a sound unless I say. Do you understand? Sarah doesn't respond. And then he responds with, do you understand? She does, and asks Blondie not to hurt her. Blondie then whips the car around a turn. Not the best drift I've ever seen, but also, the only one that I've done better is in Forza. So credit to the stunt driver. He does keep control. It's just not the cleanest turn, but you know, I guess I'm being nitpicky. Not that I can do better by any means. So he almost also hits a car, but Blondie swerves and is now on the pavement. And they get back onto the road, and Blondie then starts to explain. I'm here to protect you. I'm Reese, Sergeant Tetcom, DN38416, assigned to protect you. You've been targeted for termination. And I appreciate that he gave all of this information. Like, she has the time to look this up. And then I was like, oh. wait, this makes sense. Terminator, termination. Okay, mm-hmm. I've connected it. Babe. I've connected the dots. Yeah. We're back with Arnold. And he's on the prowl. And he grabs a radio, and it perfectly mimics the voice of the police officer who he just knocked out. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is 1L19, westbound on Olympic, approaching Overland. And this made me realize why he didn't necessarily kill the police officer right at Ray, because if that ambulance showed up and sees a dead police officer, then they're going to report that a lot quicker than if they just see a police officer that's knocked out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so he's usurped the identity of the police officer.
Exactly. He's impersonating the police officer, so makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But that's the first one. That's the only one so far to in the movie. That's the only person he hasn't killed.
Only one. That was just one lucky police officer.
Yeah.
So Sarah says that this is a mistake. She didn't do anything. And Reese says, no, but you will. It's very important that you live. Mm. Sarah still doesn't believe Reese. She asks how Arnold could get up after, and he just said, he's not a man. He's a machine. And I was like, yay, I got it right. And then he says, a Terminator, Cyberdyne Systems Model 101. Mm-hmm. Sarah asks, like a robot? And he's like, not a robot, a cyborg, cybernetic organism. And I was like, yes, I'm on fire. Then again, this is not the easiest, this is not like the hardest thing right. to guess, ladies and gentlemen. But if you've been listening for a bit, I have a horrible track record, so I'm taking the win when I get it. So Sarah says he was bleeding. And Reese says, just a second. A cop car pulls up next to them, and it's not Arnold / Terminator, who I will now call Terminator from now on, and I will call Reese by Reese. So we have now finally graduated
right.
calling them Blondie and Arnold.
Well into the second act, I would say. We're well into the second act, and we've finally found out who our two of our main characters are.
Yeah, yeah, we're a solid like 40-ish minutes into the film, like 40, yeah. 43 minutes into mm-hmm. this film to find out.
And it's not a super long film, so yeah.
No, it is not. We are a good ways into this film to mm-hmm. find out what their names are. Reese says, put your head down, and then proceeds to hit the cop car, which then loses control, swerves into another car, and, you know, just like that, another's on their tail. Reese goes through some small alleys doing a bunch of dodging and stuff, and the cop car spins out. Reese then drives in reverse to bang them and then drives off. All's good for now. Reese breaks through a barrier into a parking garage and starts to explain. Listen, the Terminator's an infiltration unit. Part man, part machine. Underneath its hyperalloy combat chassis, microprocessor controlled. Fully armored. Very tough. But outside, it's living human tissue. Flesh, skin, hair, blood, grown for the cyborgs. Sarah tries to interrupt, saying she's not sure what he thinks, but Reese snaps back with, pay attention! And then he's like, I've gotta ditch this car. He parks, and then proceeds to give us more information. And he also doesn't just park, you know, in a normal place. He does park in a parking garage. So, mm-hmm. very interesting.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, this is a good place to be able to ditch the car. He parks, and he gives us more info. The 600 series had rubber skin. We spotted them easy. But these are new. They look human. Sweat, bad breath, everything. Very hard to spot. I had to wait until he moved on you before I could zero him.
There you go.
And Sarah looks very confused and traumatized. I do feel kind of bad for her. And
a little bit.
Sarah says, she's not stupid. They can't make things like that yet. But he is from the future. And I was like, but he's from the future. Mm-hmm. And Reese says, no, but they can in about 40 years. And Sarah asks if it's from the future, and it's one possible future
right.
from your point of view. He doesn't know tech stuff. Reese confirms he's from the future. Sarah tries to get him out of the car, but Reese stops her. Sarah tries to break free by biting him. Mm-hmm. Cyborgs don't feel pain, but I do. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Reese. Fair
enough. Surprised that's not a song. Cyborgs don't feel pain, but I do. It could be a whole thing right there.
That's Sarah, a whole
where
thing.
Are we going? Yeah. Okay.
I know what to do soon. So Sarah just wants to leave, but Reese tries to explain this to her again. And he tries to explain that the Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. I feel less confident about the Terminator allowing Sarah to live, but we'll find out. It doesn't feel pity. It doesn't feel remorse or fear, and it absolutely will not stop ever until you're dead.
He's very adamant about that. Ever.
He is very, very adamant about this. Finally, it seems like Sarah has heard him. And she's like, well, can you stop it? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, yes, you can, Bob the Builder style. And I was like, I don't know how you're going to. And he agrees. And he's like, with weapons? I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. But we're back with the Terminator on the prowl. And there is nothing. But we hear on the radio that the cops have found the car in the parking structure. And he makes a U-turn on a surprisingly empty street that heads back. But you've explained that. So, meanwhile, the cops are circling the car, but Reese and Sarah are sneaking around trying to, you know, get into another car in the garage. Fair enough. They need another car. Car garage, best place to do it. So, they manage to get it, and they manage to get into a blue vehicle. And Sarah continues, and, you know, she keeps her head down. They both do. And Sarah finally asks the questions that I have had this whole time. Why me? And I was like, thank you.
Yeah,
why me? And Reese explains. Reese says, there was a nuclear war. A few years from now, all of this whole place, everything, it's gone. Just gone. There were survivors here, there. Nobody even knew who started it. The machines, Sarah. He also starts to load his gun with more ammo at this time. And he says, and, you know, he did shoot that car to create a firewall. And I like that they have understood that he needs to re-cock the gun and reload the gun
yeah.
Before he's able to shoot more. So I appreciate that they did this. And I was like, let's go. I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah doesn't understand. Reese continues and he explains. Defense networks computers, new, powerful, hooked into everything, trusted to run it all. They say it got smart, a new order of intelligence. Then it saw all people as a threat, not just the ones on the other side. It decided our fate in a microsecond. Termination. And he then busts the key to the key slot and open and then puts it back in so that they can hotwire this car. And, you know, I thought this was very interesting. And I was like, okay, there we go. We have a bit more of how everything came to be. What is going on? We now have a little bit of an idea of what is going on. So
a lot of exposition in that little time period there while they're trying to escape. So yeah, from the future, we have all kinds, if you think about it, just in that little piece there, you've described, you know, AI, the internet, all these things to come back then, things that will come into the future, but not by their names, by other names, but all that stuff that has come to pass. I mean, other than we haven't been taken over by machines yet that we know of, at least, but,
Right. And it makes me think, like, you know, we've got to make sure AI very helpful in many ways, but also, like, you know, we've got to make sure that, you know, we keep these checks in place. And I understand the importance of that because, right. You know, we have all of these sci-fi films that tell us what can happen.
Well, we have the ultimate in defense, at least at the moment, which is to unplug them. So
we do still currently do have that, but
yeah,
you know,
generating their own power, then that becomes problematic. But otherwise, like, we can just unplug them and then there you go. So
there you go. We don't know. Yeah. So yeah, Sarah then asks if he saw the war, and he says no, he grew up in the ruins after starving and hiding from HKs. And I was like, okay, HKs, we learn, are hunter-killers, machines,
yeah,
built in an automated factory. Most of us were rounded up, put in camps for orderly disposal. Mm-hmm. And he shows her a scar on her arm, like a barcode, which was burned in by a laser scanner.
Yeah.
And some were kept alive to work to load the bodies. The disposal units ran night and day, and humans were close to going out forever. And then, again, Reese reveals, there was one man who taught us to fight, to storm the wire of the camps, to smash those metal motherfuckers into junk. He turned it around. He brought us back from the brink. His name was Connor. John Connor.
Dun, dun, dun. There you go.
Yeah, it's your son. Your unborn son. And this is where, like you said, dun, dun, dun. And I was like, okay, so I wasn't right, but I was slightly close. I thought somehow it was her, or like maybe her granddaughter or her daughter, that got blown up. But, you know, I was right that she was important to the future, wasn't right in how she was connected to that future. And the connection was that her son helped rally troops and helped them, you know, get back into the fight.
Right. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I just guessed slightly the wrong thing. I was on the right track, but wasn't quite there. So
another interesting tidbit is he shows a barcode, which barcodes at that point in time were not quite as ubiquitous.
What do you mean they weren't as ubiquitous?
So they would have been. I have to read to get the exact date, but back in 84, like, every product didn't have a barcode on it like it does now. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So meanwhile, we have the Terminator, and he has arrived, and he's in the parking garage. So Reese is trying to get this car started, not having the best of luck, but it's not always the easiest thing to hotwire a car. So, you know, he's getting the car started, and he has finally succeeded. But the Terminator notices them and shoots. And Reese gets the car running. He drives away. Terminator gives chase. And Reese and the Terminator are exchanging shots back and forth, back and forth. Neither of them is able to get a very clear direct hit. They run into each other in terms of cars, not guns. They run into each other, and Reese manages to make the Terminator crash into another van. So the Terminator gives them chase into the empty LA streets. And I was like, oh, look, more cars. Again, we've been over this. These are just what I wrote in the moment. So the shooting resumes, and there's no clear contact once again. And by shooting, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean the film shot. I mean the gunshots. So the shooting has commenced. Once again, we are back in range of our lovely shotgun-trusting friends. So the Terminator needs to have better driving skills, in my opinion. He's knocking into other cars, even when he's not being shoved. Like, mate, just figure it out. Like, come on, you are a cyborg. We are over this. Like, come on, you are a machine. You should be able to drive a car straight and shoot a gun at the same time. You are automated.
Yeah, no kidding.
This was my thought.
You would think he would be able to do that.
You would think. One would think. But no, not necessarily.
No. He's not the latest edition, so I guess he's...
He's not the latest edition.
He has troubles with these things as well. Well, that, and he also caught on fire, right? And so maybe that had something
okay.
to do with it.
Okay, I mean, I guess we'll give him the he caught on fire excuse. If you want to go that way, I mean, you know, he seemed pretty okay to me, but fine. Okay.
He's powering through the pain, as they say, you know. He's hurting, but he's just powering on through because, you know, that's what he is.
Oh, he is definitely working his butt off for what he needs to be doing, and 100% props to him. So, yeah, he is committed as committed come. Yes. So, you know what? Fair play. So, Reese tells Sarah to drive. He leans out of the window, and he takes aim. Sarah is calling for Reese to get back in, as she can see that there is a barrier in the front of a wall, but he can't hear her. And Sarah, in an ingenious moment of driving, pulls the brake so that the car doesn't slam into the barrier. The Terminator, however, does not do this and crashes straight into a wall, which is covered with posters, which didn't confuse me. But the posters had frames?
I think if you... my guess it would be like... I don't remember what the posters said, but it would be like advertising in the parking garage. That's not unheard of. I mean, it's a little weird, but there's advertising everywhere. I mean, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was just
right,
advertising.
Like, advertising everywhere doesn't confuse me, but it's more the sense that it's like framed advertising.
Well, because they change them out. So instead of having them be, you know, kind of like in the subway, they have big areas that they put up basically posters.
Yeah.
Inside of frames, it'd be like that.
Oh, okay. They do that in LA because they haven't realized that they should build a subway. Okay.
Right. There's no subway. Oh. So everybody's in cars. So they put them there.
Yeah. Because they decided to have a bad transportation system. Right. We all have to pay for that. Right. Okay. Thanks, guys. Yeah. You're going to make us sit in traffic and hate you even more. Sure. Why not?
Exactly.
So anyway, props to Sarah. Well done to her. The other cops finally start to show up. There is no competence in this police department. None of those people are competent. How in the world have you not caught up to them this entire time? Like, come on. So, also, Terminator was able to find them in the parking garage. Cops, you weren't able to. You didn't seem to think, hey, maybe look inside the cars because they might be hiding. No! Just shined a flashlight and you were like, I don't see them sitting upright in a car. They must not be in one. Not thorough cops.
Yeah, they get paid by the hour, so.
not thorough at all. But in the meantime, the cops get there and Reese starts to get out. And, you know, Sarah says, no, they'll kill you if you get out with a gun.
Yeah.
And, you
she
know,
saved him. Saved
she
him.
Does save his life. And it's very important. I think it's going to come into play. And it shows that she trusts him. I think that's what I took out of this more than anything, is that this shows that she trusts him.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. At this point, yeah, there's developed a little bit of a relationship there, I suppose.
There's trust. She trusts him. She's willing to still save him. There is a trust. He hasn't done anything to hurt her. He has tried to protect her. She will do what she can to protect him, no matter how absurd the situation is.
Right. Yeah.
The cops obviously make them get out of the car. They get on the ground. And then they head over to the Terminator's car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's empty.
What? How in the world? I mean, you know, this is like crash test dummy speed that he hits this barrier. How in the world does he survive that?
I guess we'll have to find out, because that's where we're ending this episode.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry. I legitimately haven't seen more of the film, so I don't know. Even if I wanted to record the next episode right now, I couldn't. By the nature of not having seen it. But yeah, I'm very intrigued. The prediction that I made earlier, I'm still feeling fairly confident in. I'll do a quick recap of what's going on. So I did get it all right that Arnold is going to arrive before the police are going to be able to. There's going to be a bloodbath. Blondie's going to save her from Tech Noir. And then we showed that, you know, that level of trust a little bit. I think that that is there. And, you know, I did not anticipate Blondie getting caught by the police. I do still think that Blondie's going to say, well, not Blondie. We now know his name is Reese.
Reese. Yeah.
Sorry. Reese. I'm looking back at the old notes and it's written Blondie. So my brain's just gone to Blondie, but it is Reese now. But I do think that Reese is still going to be a little hesitant to work with the police. I still don't think that that's going to work. I think that they're going to somehow break out of jail to go deal with this, or Terminator is going to find them at the jail, blow everything up, and these two are going to escape. One of those things is going to happen. It's going to be either or. I think it's more likely they are going to break out of the jail, but I also see why they wouldn't necessarily break out of the jail, and Terminator would be the reason that they're able to get out. So I think one of those things is going to happen. Don't know which one, but if I have to pick my eggs into one basket, it's that they're going to break out. Okay. So that being said, I do think that they are going to uncover a secret in a way of how to beat the Terminator and defeat him. And, you know, the police, I think, are then going to think that Blondie might potentially be the reason, which is why I think that they're going to have to break out. I think they are going to try to pin the murders onto Blondie when that isn't true.
Yeah, well, they're lazy police. So, I mean, he's a good suspect, right? He's got a gun.
Look,
he's
there are two competent people. Yeah. The only people I have hope for are Ed and his partner, but we'll see if I can still have hope for them in a little bit. So I think that's what's going to happen. That's why they're going to break out. I do still think that the last phrase that's going to be uttered by Arnold is, "I'll be back." And that's going to be his last line in the film. I think all of that's going to happen. It better not be the power of love that makes him stop.
It's the power of love.
Yes, it is. But on that note, Bob, thank you so much for joining. Is there anything you want to plug to the listeners? If they want to find you anywhere on the internet, how can they do so? Where can they find you?
Oh, sure. If you want to hear some nonsense, you can go to staticradio.com at staticradio on all the socials.
Wonderful. I will link some of them down in the description as well. But Bob, thank you so much for joining. This has been an absolute pleasure over these past two episodes. And I had an absolutely wonderful time with you as the guest. Learned a lot of fun facts.
And yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. And listeners, thank you so much for listening. Until next week when we have a new guest, but we will find out how Terminator is somehow a crash test dummy that disapparates. I'll catch y'all later. Hello, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale. Post Finale was created, hosted, and produced by me, Ankit Madeira. Our editor is Pranav Nair. The art is by Jared Rother, and the music is by Ankit Madeira and Megan Hutchison. If you like our show, please hit the follow button and that notification button to stay up to date on our content.
Please leave a rating and a review. It helps us immensely.
Don't forget to follow our social media to keep up to date, or subscribe to our Patreon if you want bonus content.
Links of our social media and Patreon are in the episode description.
Thank you for supporting our content. Be sure to come back next week for more shenanigans from Co-op Forge.
New episodes for Flip the Scripts is every Friday, Seattle Across the Pond every other Thursday, and Post Finale every Wednesday.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye now.